Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Last week it was about individuals in the Bundesliga. This weekend was all about teams coming together to add their voice to the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, we welcome in Gab Marcotti, Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno to the show. Shaka, I want to start with you. It has been quite the statement, it seems, that teams have made this weekend. What have you made of it?
I'm in awe and in complete support. Listen, given what we've seen happen all over the world, and for me, the outsized role that football and football clubs continue to play, both in their own local communities and in the wider global community, I'm heartened to see the response. I'm heartened to see clubs taking their responsibility as seriously as they are. They are now running with the baton and doing their part. I've always felt that football clubs, thanks to their diversity within the dressing rooms, can lead from the front. And ultimately, teams are better when we support each other, when we fight for each other. And that's what you're seeing now. This is about each and every one of us, and clubs are recognising their responsibility to that.
And this is all with the backing of the German FA, Gab?
Yeah, I mean, the German FA has basically made it very clear that they don't consider this the sort of political messaging that would be sanctioned, and that this is a universal message, and I think, you know, that is a good thing in terms of solidarity. I think at the same time we need to bear in mind that action probably has to follow as well, because, you know, we've already seen teams wear T-shirts saying no to racism, and we've seen teams, especially when it becomes a top-down corporate message, we've seen them embrace a lot of messaging about fighting racism and whatnot, but, you know, without perhaps the sort of follow-through that you would expect.
It's been quite the scene, hasn't it? We've seen, Ali, players, referee, everyone together on the centre circle taking a knee.
It's an example to follow, and it's an understanding from teams, referees, the German FA, the whole world of soccer and the Bundesliga, understanding that, you know what, we have a platform and we can truly use this platform to impact change in a positive manner. And as you mentioned, last week it was more about the individuals. This week it's more so about the fact that teams are taking on the responsibility and the Bundesliga as a whole is taking a responsibility. And if that can be done in Germany, and then you take that on to different leagues and they take that movement, and as Shaka just mentioned, you pick the baton from the Bundesliga and carry it on to your individual and local leagues, then I think the movement grows. Little by little, now the platform that it was used in Germany can be used in other places, because as we spoke of earlier this week and last week, this is not a local issue, this is a global issue. And the quicker we understand that, then the quicker we're going to get to a solution. We certainly hope that this is the start of something positive. And as Gab just alluded, that it isn't just about you take a knee today and then forget all about it. No, you take a knee today, then talk about the mindset and talk about the expectations and the things that you can do in order to make this an action statement, not just a statement of a picture, not just a photo opportunity, but something that is more about how do we change from here on out and how do we change the mindset, not only individually, but on a global scale as well.
The upcoming weeks will see the return, Gab, of action in La Liga, in Italy, in the Premier League. Are we going to see similar protests, and will the FAs be as prominent as the German FA have been?
Well, look, I think both FIFA and the German FA have kind of laid down a marker here that, you know, these sorts of demonstrations, like I said, these aren't political messages, these are universal messages, and they certainly wouldn't encourage anybody to go and punish anybody who raises this issue. We'll see. There's some time until it comes back. The one thing I would perhaps caution against is that we have to, at risk of repeating myself, is, you know, it doesn't take a lot when all your teammates are kneeling on going on one knee. Yeah, it's a powerful symbol, but you can't put it in the same level as Weston McKennie when he was the first guy to wear that armband, or Marcus Thuram, or going all the way back, Colin Kaepernick. So, you know, once it gets mainstreamed, it's critical that it doesn't just become something that everybody does because everybody else does it, but that then we have the follow-through. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't really take a lot of guts to go and kneel down when your entire team is doing it, when your employer is encouraging you to do it, and when your league is telling you to do it. Then it just becomes something that becomes part of your job.
That's the key to all of this, isn't it, Shaq?
It is, and Gab is absolutely right to make that point. This is not about what's going to happen on the weekend or what happens when the Premier League starts back up and whether they follow suit and the English FA and their response to it. But it's all about what happens when the dust settles. And, for instance, let's remember the kind of kickback and the resistance that football, European football across the board, had to football's version of the Rooney Rule. And it's not just about packaging that correctly, but it's about how it's spoken out and the messaging that comes with it. And it doesn't have to stop on the football field or in terms of making sure that the right number of ethnic and black managers are given an opportunity to interview. It goes to the boardroom level. If you're a football club and it's all well and good that your team is taking the knee on a Saturday in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, but what are you doing at board level to make sure that your board accurately reflects your supporter base, accurately reflects who your country is and who you want to be known as a football club? Are you providing opportunities for black people to serve on your board? Are you providing those opportunities for them to even be interviewed for those positions? Those are the things that have to change behind the scenes, when all the kneeling maybe has stopped. Those are the things that really make an impact. And if you want to show that you're serious, don't just stop at not punishing players for wearing a T-shirt. It has to go to how you reflect. Will the FA be better represented in terms of their ethnic diversity in going forward?
Will it happen, Shaq? Will this moment make a difference in history?
Dan, I always say I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and I hope so. But I would have said exactly the same, 25 years ago when I first started with Show Racism and the Red Card. I was involved with that because I wanted to make a change, a better change, for the world that my kids would inherit. And now as we sit here, some 25 years removed, I'm grappling with having failed on that promise to my children. But I still hold hope, and I feel that they can move this forward. This is their time. This is their world. And they now, I think, are better positioned to shape the world for their kids. And I believe in them. I believe that they can.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast will be available to download tomorrow, where this conversation will continue.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Gavin Ali still with me to talk about the prospect of the Champions League being held in Lisbon. Quarterfinals, semi-finals and the final will all be there. It will just be one-legged affairs. Gab, is this true? Is this what UEFA are looking at?
Well, UEFA are meeting on the 17th, as we know, and they're going to take stock of the situation. They would like to, at that stage, ideally, be able to come out with a format and different plans and a plan for the final. But that may not be possible on that date. So I think this is just one of many suggestions. We had Frankfurt recently as well. But the idea is let's have something where we can have a final four or a final eight format Let's have it in a country which has a low contagion rate, good hospitals, easily accessible, and where we can do it safely. Certainly, I think that's the message UEFA want to send. And Portugal, as we've seen, you know, being the second major European league to come back and play, is one of the countries that has dealt most effectively with the coronavirus.
Ali, do you like this idea? Do you like this format? One-legged, bish-bash-bosh, almost World Cup style?
I like it on two fronts, Dan. I like the fact that we're actually having a competition, because at some point we thought, are we even going to have Champions League, and what format will it be, and is this going to be possible? And the fact that, well, it's going to be all the way to August in order for this to happen, you have to find the best solution available. And I like how unique this is going to be, and how in a period of a week to 10 days or so, you're going to have a resolution of a tournament that maybe we didn't think we were going to have. So I like the fact that it's happening, and I do enjoy the idea of, you know what, every game that they play is a final. Every game has to be played with that urgency. You're not speculating with a result. You're not speculating with away goals. It's every game counts. Every game is a final. You win or you go home, and that's something that we haven't had for Champions League. So, yeah, I'm all for it. But most of all, I'm excited that the tournament is happening.
If you were still playing, Ali, would you be comfortable?
Yeah, I'd be comfortable, because I didn't think I was going to be able to play in the tournament to begin with. And so now I have an opportunity for this to be decided out on the field and a chance to do so. And I have to trust, as a player, I only concern myself with doing my job on the field. I have to trust that people off the field are taking care of us, and that the tournament is going to be run properly, and that we're going to have the facilities, and everybody is going to take the necessary measures in order for us to be as safe and healthy as possible. I'm going to trust that that's going to happen, and then I'm going to worry as a player on what I do on the field.
Thank you very much, boys. Well, just a reminder, the show with you every day. We, of course, be keeping a close eye on the situation, how they're going to resolve the Champions League this season. Sid Lowe and Frank LaBeouf joined the show. Gab's still with us. Gab, it's with you that I want to start, though. Lautaro Martinez has been heavily linked to a move to Barcelona over recent weeks. Suggestions, though, the Inter have had enough. Manchester United and Real Madrid now in the running.
Well, this is the thing to remember here. Inter don't get to choose where he goes. He has a release clause, and all somebody has to do is show up with the money. And if they show up with the money and Lautaro wants to join them, he's going to go. So I think what we're seeing here is a realization, perhaps, that it might be beneficial to Lautaro if there were other clubs who were interested in him, other than Barcelona. It might be beneficial to Inter if they find themselves in a situation where things drag on beyond the moment in time when his release clause expires, which I believe is mid-July, and maybe they might have to sell him to the highest bidder. So I think what you're seeing is sort of a lot of tactical maneuvering right now. What hasn't come out from Lautaro's end is him saying, no, I don't want to play for Inter anymore. I want to go to Barcelona. But what we have seen, he certainly hasn't done it very publicly, but what we have seen from Inter's perspective is a realization that if he wants to leave, they can't stop him. So they're already thinking, I think, in terms of plan B and what to do if he does move.
Barcelona still front runners, Sid.
Well, I mean, Gab's just hit the nail on the head there. He said that all that has to happen is a club has to turn up with the money to pay his buyout clause. The problem, of course, is precisely that. It's Barcelona turning up with the money to pay his buyout clause. And we've seen endless talk of various different formulas to try and meet that valuation of 110 million euros, which, of course, as Gab says, if you turn up with 110 million euros in cash, you get him. But if you haven't got that money in cash, you have to find other ways of putting together a deal that convinces them that this is okay, that this meets that valuation in some way. And Barcelona have been desperately trying to get other players to become part of that deal, to have a part swap element to this. Now, of course, on the face of it, this is how it ends. It ends with someone paying the buyout clause. But, of course, in a depressed market, if Barcelona were unable to do that and made another offer, and if other clubs were also unable to meet that buyout clause and made offers, then, of course, you get a much more of an open market scenario. And I think what's happened, of course, with Werner and Chelsea and Liverpool is a warning that sometimes you can have a deal that seems to be in place, that seems to be ready, that just needs to be triggered, that just needs to be finalised, because the player knows where he wants to go, the club where he wants to go wants him, and they believe they can find a way of convincing the club he's at. But until you do that, you can't be certain. And this is Barcelona's big problem at the moment. They need to generate 70 million euros by the end of the financial year anyway, regardless of this deal. And so it's very, very difficult for them to do this. Now, they think it's on track. They know, or they say that they know, that he wants to go to them. They think they can find a way of convincing Inter, but they've got to find that way. And until they do, this cannot be closed off. And as Gab rightly says, in a scenario like that, what happens? Well, what always happens, whether it's true or not, you get news coming out about other clubs being interested. Why? Because what it does is it prevents Barcelona from making the assumption or believing that they're in a safe place, even if they don't meet that valuation. So you get this kind of very public playing out of positions and the use of interest from other clubs to try and drive prices up. In this case, drive it right up to that valuation of the buyout clause. But that's the difficulty Barcelona have. It's a very easy deal to do if you've got the money, but at the moment, the truth is they haven't.
Frank, how highly do you rate him?
Well, he should last, well, that season, he's not finished yet, that he stepped up and went to another level, or maybe two other levels, and showed his real talent. He's going to be a bright future of our football, and I'm sure he's going to score many, many goals in any clubs he's gonna go, or even if he stays for Inter. He's a fantastic player. I like his movement. I like the way he feels. The goal and how he can reach his goal every time he shots. He's a talented player. I don't know where he's gonna go, but I don't want to be in his shoes right now. Where you know sometimes you know yourself you're gonna go to Barcelona, maybe you're gonna go to Real Madrid. Well, nothing to be sad about, but maybe unbalanced. Maybe his brain sometimes, you know, because you don't know where you're going to be and where you're going to go. And for the family, it's not very good as well. But football wise, I have no doubt that he's going to do the job.
Another player that's been linked to a move to Manchester United, Gab, is Van de Beek. This has been breaking over the last 24 hours. Has it got any legs?
Well, I think from my ex's perspective, a year ago, you know, they were very adamant out of their sort of highly touted trio of Matthijs de Ligt, Frenkie de Jong, and Donny van de Beek. They didn't want to get all three go. Obviously, de Jong had already committed himself to Barcelona. A year down the line, with Ziyech also going, with those other guys gone, possibly Sergino Dest going, I think it could be a different situation. Van de Beek, very loyal to the club, but also I think cognizant of the fact that if the right offer comes along, this could be a huge boost to Ajax's finances as well. You know, let's not forget that the Dutch league isn't coming back. So you know, they're taking a big hit in that department as well. From United's perspective, I don't know. I mean, he's a very phenomenal player, but you already have, you know, Bruno Fernandes in that sort of attacking midfield position, who's just got there and who's done very well. So I would have thought maybe, you know, they might have other priorities that they'd be looking at.
Finally, Gab, just so I've got you here, Rabiot being linked to Everton. It's been quite the couple of years for him, really. Obviously, worked his way out of PSG, went to Juve, couldn't get in the team there hardly at all. Next up, Goodison.
Yeah, look, Juventus in some ways are in a similar position to Barcelona, where they want to be able to raise money and you know, through the magic of amortization, because Rabiot and Aaron Ramsey as well, in fact, because both those guys were free transfers. You know, if you sell them, it's on paper anyway, pure profit. I think the difficulty is Rabiot signed a huge contract when he came to Juventus. And I'm not suggesting that Everton can't afford him, but equally, if you put your eggs in the Rabiot basket, you might have issues. You might have issues elsewhere. So I think Ancelotti certainly had a good relationship with him, was one of the few guys who could manage him, you know, back when he was at Paris Saint-Germain. I think if this deal happens, more likely that it's going to be perhaps a loan with some sort of buyback option, something along those lines.
What a mess it's been for Rabiot. Forcing that move away from the French champions, it's been downhill since then, Frank.
Yes, I mean, it's a strange personality. Fantastic player, technically, physically when he wants to play, but inconsistent at some point. But personality-wise, complicated to understand. he had the chance because they get Paris Saint-Germain got rid of Matuidi to have a real position for Paris Saint-Germain. Then he didn't take it and went to Juventus where Matuidi plays. And Matuidi is a fantastic player and he didn't have a chance to play. Now he wants to go to Everton, and sorry for the Everton fans, but I think there is two reasons he wants to go there. One for Ancelotti, because he knows him, he had him in Paris Saint-Germain, and the second reason would be for the money, for the huge money that the Toffees would be ready to give him. Everton has to grow up as a club. Not England, but around Europe, of course, get reach the Champions League to attract big, big players. But for that type of player, Rabiot, it could be a backup in a money-wise time, way. Sorry, and I'm pretty sure he's going to go there if they offer good money. But football-wise, Paris Saint-Germain, Juventus, Everton. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. For all the latest transfer news, be sure to go over to the website and click on Transfer Talk.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Three matches in the Bundesliga today. One, though, big, big result. Wolfsburg with a 1-0 victory away against Werder Bremen. For Wolfsburg, it puts them back in the Europa League spots. 2 points clear now of Hoffenheim, but significant defeat for Werder Bremen. When you take a look at the bottom of the table, they remain in the relegation zone and looks like they need a miracle now if they're going to survive without getting relegated at the end of the season. Right then, we'll end the show now with a bit of best of the week. I'm Dan Thomas. I am out of my basement. Look, I've had to put pants on and everything.
Do I go to my Lamborghini local shop and go down and say, can I buy an Aventador? I give you $50,000 and my old car and my wife's car and my three children bicycles. Can we make a deal?
It sounds like you've done that before, Jules. That's more concerning.
You know, if you don't try, you don't get.
As a Norwegian being second on the FIFA world ranking, I was very close to winning the World Cup trophy.
When were you second in the FIFA rankings?
Yeah, you have to call Blatter, my friend.
Also, FIFA rankings? Thomas Delaney hasn't read the Player's Guide to Cliché Answers.
Listen, this is down to the interrogation team that is the Gab and Jules podcast. They absolutely set them up.
I will start Platini.
No!
Hear me out, Shaka,
You've
hear
got
me
to
out.
Start Zidane.
Platini.
You have to. Zidane,
and Zidane
won
can maybe create hundreds of chances.
The
but might...
Cup, Jules.
It would be a strange thing for a 19-year-old to be able to handle
all
these
compliments.
This
made you forget that it was his birthday in March. He is, in fact, 20 years old now.
Oh, you should be able to handle it now then. Well,
I was doing it in a nice way. I wasn't saying, you idiot, do some research.
He doesn't have to use the word idiot. Let's see, that's typically you.
Give us one other player away from PSG that you like to watch.
Do you watch the French league or what?
I do, but it's not that good.
When you're 19 and you've got all those expectations on you, all that pressure, especially
when you're 20.
Where... It's not 19.
20, sorry, 20.
You're an idiot. Anyway. You're an idiot. Come on, Dan, tell him.
Who advised Gab to wear that baseball cap? It has received quite a few critics.
You know what? Hair grows. Hair grows, and hair grows big.
Why don't you just stick your head under the tap?
My head doesn't fit in the sink under the tap. I don't know how big your taps are in your house.
How is your Scottish accent, Frank?
Greg! Freedom! Freedom, Greg Burley!
You are old enough to remember the Muppet Show, and in Muppet Show you have these two old men in the balcony.
Well, someone better tell you, and he's working with a bunch of Muppets now, working with us. on this show.
Freedom! Freedom! Last year, Stevie, you were in the bowels of a karaoke bar singing You'll Never Walk Alone.
This article right now on ESPNFC.com is getting Barcelona.
The most hated Chelsea players in their history of the club. Craig was only beaten by Chris Sutton in the final.
Somebody said, I'm not voting for Bully because he wants to win. I had my victory speech all written out. All my family were coming to the event, everything, and I came up a little short.
You want the cat? It's American cat. It's from Miami. I got it in Miami.
They gave a lot of thought, didn't they, to naming that cat? That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Stay tuned, though. Frank and Sid on Extra Time. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Frank LaBeouf with me, as is Sid Lowe. Thanks for dressing up for us, Sid. Much appreciated, as always. Really putting an effort in. for that, you get the first Ballon d'Or question. Will Lewandowski win the Ballon d'Or in 2020 if Bayern win the Champions League?
If Bayern win the Champions League and he scores a hat-trick in the final, then I suppose there's quite a good chance, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. What do you think, Frank?
Yeah, I always have to put before. You know that I don't care about the Ballon d'Or.
Yes.
But yes, Lewandowski is going to win it if he's, like Sid said, scored an hat-trick and the Bayern win the Champions League, yes.
Sid, is it true that Madrid made a bid for Kai Havertz?
Well, what has been reported by Marca, who are very close to Real Madrid, is that there was a deal in, or not a deal in place, that there was, if you like, the kind of the basis of an agreement that they felt that they had him in a very good place, but that this summer they will not be making any moves at all because of the impact of the coronavirus crisis. And so, if the answer is yes, which I must confess I can't stand up, and but I have no reason to question that piece of information. It's yes, but not now. And so in a way, it almost means nothing anyway.
Werner, Pulisic, Ziyech, Frank, or Rashford, Martial, Sancho. Which front three would you have?
Do you have to be a blue? I don't know. I'm going to go with, because I really love Ziyech. I discovered him like 2 seasons ago. Werner is absolutely fantastic for 2 seasons with Leipzig. Yes. I'm going to go with the blue attack. But don't forget that some other players might turn up, like Tammy Abraham. You can put him out. And I'm sure some other players for Manchester United. So very good three at front for both teams, but I go for the blues, yeah.
Surprise, surprise, Frank. Yeah, anti United ways. Sure. Frank, how did you feel prior to the World Cup final in 1998, knowing that you were going to mark Ronaldo?
I like the challenge. I knew it would be hard, and I said, well, no worries, because if it's not Ronaldo, it's going to be Rivaldo, or it's going to be Bebeto, so it's going to be a problem to solve. So it's always nice, you know, when you are football players to play against the best, because then you can challenge yourself and know which level you are at, and playing maybe the best striker in the world at that time, it was absolutely fantastic. And you know that you don't play alone. It's not a one against one. You're going to be covered by your friend. Some other player's going to do the job in midfield. So I was pretty confident that it would work, and it did, but not only because of me, it's because of all the team around me.
So humble, Frank.
Thank you.
Which young Spanish talent should we be keeping an eye on in La Liga?
I think the player who most stands out as a young player at the moment is Ferran Torres at Valencia. I think he's played well enough for enough of this season that he probably doesn't count as a discovery now, because he's been so good all season, but he's still very, very young. He, by the way, hasn't signed a new deal with Valencia, so of course there's all sorts of speculation about his future, but he's been really, really good this season. I think he's got a fantastic future ahead of him.
Has Frank ever mentored a player? Ooh.
No, the only thing I said, because John Terry was very young when I left Chelsea and he played a couple of games before I left, And I said, it's your time, you know. Mr. Ranieri wants to put you with Marcel Desailly. It's your time to show to the world how good you are. So do the job properly. Well, I guess he did well. And I don't think it's because I said it. It's just because he was very talented and he had the mentality for that. That's it.
Very humble once again, Frank. John Terry's success, that's all
me.
Down to me.
That's really me.
That's what I heard.
That's me.
Finally, Sid, what did you miss the most about living in the UK?
Good chocolate. Decent chocolate. It's very hard. I don't know if I'm allowed to say a brand name, so I'm not going to, just in case. There is a brand of chocolate that's very popular in the UK that begins with a C, which is very difficult to find in Spain. So I'd say, and this doesn't say much, by the way, about my kind of eating habits, but I would probably say good chocolate,
yeah,
and crisps that actually have a flavour, which is something that I really do miss in Spain, yeah.
Frank, what did you miss the most when you were living in America?
The food. The food. You know, every food, every meal, that's completely different. I think it's when you eat, you start eating in the United States, you start to put on some weight. I don't know what's going on with their food. You can find fantastic restaurants and in the United States, but when you want to cook at home, it's hard to find in every grocery shop the good meat that you can find in France. So I would say the meat when I was in Los Angeles, yeah.
Good stuff, guys. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of today's Extra Time. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Keep your tweets coming in at ESPN FC. Until then, goodbye.